Okay, some of you may know we are fortunate to be celebrating a bar mitzvah tomorrow with the Zemel family. So in anticipation and in honor of this simcha, there'll be a bar mitzvah at Shachar's tomorrow. I wanted to speak about one of the most well-known and classical Sfiras HaOmer topics, and that is what happens when you have a bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah during Sfira. What do you mean what happens? He becomes bar mitzvah. So, of course, what I'm alluding to is the question of what should he do about counting with a bracha for the duration. And this is known in the yeshivas as a very famous question, a suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch and mitzvah Shin Vav, I don't know if he's necessarily the first, but he's certainly the most famous one to discuss this question. And he raises the possibility that perhaps even if a boy, a young man, was counting the whole time, whatever it is, let's say even into the second or third or fourth or fifth week, whatever it was in the Sfira, and he's counting every day, even every night with a bracha, and now at some point in the middle of Sfira becomes a gadol. So now the question is, can he still count with a bracha, or do we view, in essence, all the counting that he did as a minor as having no impact on the fact that he's now going to be counting as an adult? And in fact, now that he's becoming an adult, let's say on day 25 of the Sfira, so he was missing the first 24 days. So if you're missing one day and you can't count, so certainly if you're missing 24 days, or in our Bar Mitzvah Bachar's case, it would just be a few days. But still, could that be a problem or not? So let me start with the end of the Shir, the headline of what is the conclusion in the postgim, and then I hope to use the duration of the Shir to kind of unpack that and show you where the whole discussion comes from. In essence, if you look in the Achronim, there are three opinions on this question. And I'll start with the outlier opinion. The outlier opinion, which is not what we'll be spending the rest of this year discussing, but it's worth noting because it's so fascinating, is a suggestion made by the two Achronim, as far as I know, not more than two, the Marash Engel and the Chesed Lavram. And they say that it's advantageous to be a katan shehigdil b'toch ha-sfira. He's better than a typical adult. Because even if he had missed days, complete days, during his youth of pre-bar mitzvah, it starts when he becomes bar mitzvah. So the tamimus for him is from whenever he was bar mitzvah until the end. And therefore it doesn't matter what happened beforehand. He starts at a clean slate. It's the middle of the sfira. It doesn't matter. He starts at a clean slate. And from whatever that day is, if he starts counting, certainly the first night, I don't know, a bar mitzvah boy would miss it on the first night. If he does, you can get back the presents. For sure, you get a refund on those. At least the first night, he should get it. But certainly from that day on, as long as he keeps on going, he's fine. Right? Now, again, there's a certain sharpness, a certain logic to it, but it really is an outlier position. The overwhelming majority of poskim do not even consider this possibility. And they view the question of this young boy becoming a bar mitzvah as not whether he could even be, quote-unquote, better or more advantageous than the grown-up, but is he like a grown-up or is he even less? By which I mean to say as follows. The majority of poskim, just so no matter what we say the rest of this year, you should know this. The majority of poskim hold that whatever point a boy becomes bar mitzvah during the sfira, assuming that he was still in the game, he had been counting every night until then, he can continue counting with a bracha even after he becomes a bar mitzvah boy. That there is some kind of a connection between what he did before his bar mitzvah and after. What exactly that connection will be, as I say, we'll get to in a few minutes. That position is taken by, among others, a short list, the Minchas Chinuch himself, the Ksav Sofer, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Har Tzvi, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Or LeTzion, the Great Sephardi Posek, Rabben Tzion Abba Shaul, and many, many others. That's the majority view. The third opinion, which is a minority view, advocated by, again, some very prominent poskim, the Berkei Yosef, a great Sfardi posek, the Avnei Nezer in Tshuvas, and Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the first Ger Rebbe, the Chedusha Harim, that he also held that a bar mitzvah boy is counting the whole time, he's a good 12 and a half year old or so, he's counting, but then comes day 25 of the Omer and he becomes a bar mitzvah boy, a mevugar, an adult, he can no longer count with a bracha. It's paradoxical. Perhaps that's why most poskim didn't like it, because he had been counting the day before he counted with a bracha. But now that he's a bar mitzvah boy in the middle, ice bracha, he can no longer make a bracha. So let's leave aside the first opinion, that outlier. Fundamentally, you have most poskim arguing over the two main positions. Does the bar mitzvah boy who had been counting keep on counting with a bracha? Or does somehow he step back? He's, so to speak, worse than he had been. And now he can't no longer count with a bracha. That's the major machlokas. So what's it all about? So we need to break up our brief discussion into three little parts. A little bit of a background of what's going on, and then the two issues that are intersecting here. The issue that's going on, which many of you are familiar with, but just necessary to review just for 2 minutes, is what's the whole issue for any of us? Forget the bar mitzvah boy for a minute. He'll get enough attention tomorrow. Let's focus on the rest of us for a second. Any of us, if we would miss a day in the sphere, we miss a night, we can count during the day with a bracha, without a bracha. What if we miss a whole 24-hour period? What's that all about? So the answer, again, in 2 minutes is as follows. There's a number of sugyas and Maseches Menachos which seem to relate to the issue and perhaps contradict. Why do we count at night? We count at night because the Gemara says our counting, our Sfiras Omer, is patterned after the Kitsiras Omer, the harvesting of the Omer, which was a carbon, which was brought on the second day of Pesach. The Kohen used to cut the Omer at night, the barley at night, so we count at night. But what if, so that's what you're supposed to do, as we all know. But what if you didn't do it? So there's two scenarios. One is you remembered at some point during the day, and one is that you completely missed it. In both cases, there are machlokes rishonim quoted in Tosfos. Tosfos appears both in Maseches Menachos and in Maseches Megillah. And you have the same opinions in both places, although slightly different versions of the opinions. And the main player in this sugya, quoted in all the places, is one of the early onim, or early rishonim, known as the Bahag. But people know about this Bahag, but most people only know half the Bahag. The Bahag has a big chumrah and a kula. On the first question, if you forget to count at night, can you count during the day? So we all take it for granted, because we've been doing this, we've known about this our whole life. But the rishonim didn't take that for granted. If we're supposed to be counting like we did the Katsira, the harvesting, so they didn't harvest during the day, they harvested at night. So this is not so simple. So Tosos quotes Tom, other Rishonim who held, no, if you didn't count during the day, then you can't count at night. The mitzvah is to count at night. That's it. If I didn't light Hanukkah candles at night, I can light during the day. And if I didn't do shofar in the morning, I could do it at night. No, there's a time for, you know, there's a time and place for things. Counting is at night. So the Bahag argues with the Kula. And the Bahag says, no, it's ideal to count at night, but you can even count during the morning. And depending on where you see the Bahag, Menachos versus Megillah, in one place it sounds like he means counting in the morning even with a bracha. And in the other version of Tosfos and Megillah, it sounds more befarish that you couldn't make a bracha. But you could, that's the big kula of the Bahag. People don't realize. It starts off with a kula. You can count during the day. Other Rishonim said no. Then comes the second question. Well, let's say I'm not only a shlemiel I missed at night, but I'm even a shlemazel I missed during the day as well. I missed a whole 24-hour period. So am I in? I just didn't have a perfect batting average. Or am I out? So here again, you have a machlokes with the same players, but the position ends up being reversed. Many of the other opinions quoted in Tosfos and other places say, yeah, nope, you missed one day. It's not ideal. We're not going to give you a shakayach for that. But, so you'll keep on counting. Half a loaf is better than none. Comes along the Bahag with a big, famous, world-famous chumrah. The Bahag says, if you miss one 24-hour period, you're out. You're out. He doesn't talk about keep on counting afterwards without a bracha. This stuff all comes later. He says, no, you are out if you missed it. Now, how do we paskin? So as we're all familiar, and I say all because I assume that I'm not the only one that at some point in my life this became halacha lemaisa. Not everyone's been so perfect since their bar bat mitzvah that they've never missed a year of perfect counting. I certainly could not make that claim. So what's the halacha? The halacha is a kind, is basically like the Bahag, but it's really only a compromise. On the one hand, says the Shulchan Aruch, you should be machmir for the Bahag. And if you miss 24 hours, we no longer count with a bracha. On the other hand, it's not really so clear that we hold like the Bahag, and therefore we say you should keep on counting because maybe the other Rishonim were right. So you should keep on counting, even if you missed a day, a 24-hour period. But keep on counting, just not with a bracha. And what about if you just missed at night, but in the morning? So then we flip it. On the one hand, we say, yes, you can count, fundamentally like the Bahag. But maybe the other Rishonim, Tom was right. So therefore, don't do it with a bracha. That's how we get to halacha as it relates to all of us. As I say, that's the background of what most of us were probably already familiar with. So now comes along the question, and this is the subject of the Minchas Sinuch. The bar mitzvah boy who's been counting as a katan, The counting is a minor. But do we view that counting as basically halakhically meaningless now that he is an adult, that he is a gadol? And if it would be meaningless, so then that drops him into this whole discussion, this vortex that we've been discussing with the Bahag. And if you missed one day, let alone, you know, becoming bar mitzvah, you know, in the middle of the Sfira, so then certainly he would no longer be able to count with a bracha. That's the background. That's how the suffix emerges. So as I mentioned, this is a machlokes. Many, many, many poskim hold he could keep on counting with a bracha. And there's a prominent view, but a minority view, but a prominent group of authorities who see he can no longer count. So now that we have the background, what's the machlokes about? So here I think there are two very intriguing possibilities. Because as we find in so many halachos, and this is a good example of it, in fact, if you think a little deeper, a little bit more analytically, we have two completely different areas of halacha that are intersecting. You can imagine it like a graph, you know, on a grid. We have Hilchos Sfiras Omer, and all the lumdus with the Bahag, which I just gave you a very brief version of. But we also have that's a big topic. But then we have that is intersecting with a completely different and much bigger topic, which is, what is the status of a Maisa Katan? What is the status of an action, whether it be commercially or in the world of mitzvos, closer to our topic, of a Katan? Now that's not just limited, that's not just a Sfiras HaOmer question. Birchas HaTorah, Kiddush La... If you could, almost any area of halacha, you could find some discussion in Shulchan Aruch or in Shuvis about what if a katan did it, what if he did it in the morning, but he committed bar mitzvah in the afternoon. That's a general, meta topic. So those two points are intersecting and hitting at this question. And I think, hope to show in the next 15 minutes, I think that you could analyze this question from either perspective. I mean, it could be that the argument is all about what's the status of a katan, which would have impact on many other areas of halacha. Or it could be a more local issue arguing about how to understand Sfiras HaOmer. So let's take one at a time. The bigger issue. What is the general status of a Maisa Katan? Anyone under Bar Mitzvah, or Bat Mitzvah as the case would be, does an action. What is the halachic status of that vis-a-vis adults, other adults at the same time, contemporaneously, or that very person, the next morning, the next day, when they become an adult? So a number of poskim pick a very interesting halacha, which in some sense you may think is very far afield, and depending on how much frustration your child causes you, you may think is right in the zone. And that is a discussion from the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which the Rambam quotes, about a shota. Let's say you have someone, Nebuch, who is, in all seriousness, severely mentally compromised, who eats matzah in their shtus, while they're not really understanding in any meaningful way what they're doing. And then, Hodel Hashem Kitov, at some point before the end of the Seder night, they're nisrape, they're healed. Now, either you imagine that this is a fanciful example, but it's just it's illustrative for the halachic principle, or maybe, I don't think, there are certain people who go in and out of being, you know, certain conditions, nebuch, that's part of the pain of the condition, that people go in and out of how aware and how responsible they can be.
Today, it's very relevant with medication.
Yes, I was about to say, thank you, yeah, 100%. Could be, he wasn't on his meds, or the meds wore off, right? Maybe he was going crazy, they gave him the medication, and, you know, before b'chatzi halayla, I don't want to get into sof zman achilas matzah or any of that, that's a different topic, but at some point, let's say, that's the discussion in the Gemara, let's say, so the help. It's even less than that. No, because this person is not. This is not, he doesn't even know what he's doing. It's even less than no kavana. A shota is potter from mitzvos. He's not even. That one says against his will, but he's not even aware of what he's doing. Okay, like some people call it like a misasik. Misasik is less than no kavana. It's less than that. It's less than that. But now, within the time period, he's now bari, cholish in his rapa, something like that. The Gemara talks about this. So the psak in the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam quotes this as well, is that he has to eat matzah again. The matzah that he ate, the double kazayas, the triple kazayas, the new chumrah from the four kazaysim, all the different chumras, he ate it all. And it's worth nothing now that he's healed, now that he's back with full mental capacity. In other words, what do you see from this, say the poskim? That an action that's done, even if in a vacuum it was done perfectly, but an action that's done at a time when a person is putter, a shota, on a human level, of course it's a tragedy, But on a halachic level, there's not the person's not obligated in mitzvahs. How could they be? They're not in control. So a person who does a mitzvah, no matter how well it was done, but when he's not obligated, that has no impact if he then becomes within the zone healed and obligated, if he becomes obligated. And therefore, some poskim, the Chiddush HaRim among others, quoted this as an analogy, says, Hu adin for the katan. Katan is not a shota, again, as I say, unless he's just driving you mad that day. But a katan is not a shota. It could be a brilliant 12 and a half year old. But halachically, he's not obligated. Aye, but he's been counting for 2 weeks. But just like the shota, his actions have no halachic standing. And therefore, when he becomes a gadol, you can't rely, there's no money in the bank, there's nothing to rely on. He's starting afresh, and he's in the middle of sfira. So again, it's, on the one hand, it's far afield. On the other hand, some posts can say, perhaps, that is an analogy. And therefore, there are those who, as they say, the Avnei Nezer, the Chiddush HaRim, they brought a raya from this halacha of the Shotesh and Isrape, that now that's why the Katan can no longer count with Sfiras Omer. Again, it's not only this. There's a Sefer on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Maram Chaviv, called the Yom Trua. Some of you, we just, in Daf Yomi, did Maseches Sukkah, the Kapos Tmarim, it's the same author. So he suggests the same thing about a shofar. Let's say, for example, he says, let's say about a Katan Shehigdil on Rosh Hashanah. But in the morning when he heard shofars before the bar mitzvah, assuming that you need me'ace lace or something, and then later it's not. He says the same thing, he has to hear shofar again. Just like those later achronim hold, he has to count sfira, and he didn't, because that what he did as a katan doesn't count. So if that's why the minority view holds that a katan no longer can count with a bracha, so how come there's so many other poskim, the majority hold the katan can count with a bracha? So here I think the reason is, because many poskim, despite this Rambam and this halacha about the matzah, nevertheless, most poskim, or most, many poskim hold that the maisa katan does have some standing. It's not the same level as an adult, as a grown-up, but it's not nothing. Certainly not, at least for that person, him or herself. Vis-a-vis other people, maybe that would be tricky. But if we're looking at the person, him or herself, the actions that he or she did when they were a katan, when they were a minor, before bar mitzvah, and now, how does that affect, what can you draw on that, now that this person is a bar mitzvah? So many, many poskim say, not so fast, not so fast. In fact, the Maharam Shik and others, Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, many other achronim say that a maisa katan, an action done by someone under bar mitzvah, it is something. One of the achronim, they formulate it this way. They say, if a katan does a mitzvah, he's mekayim mitzvah sasei kiyumis, v'nifter kishehigdil. They wouldn't make him hear shofar again. Maybe the matzah is a different halacha, that was the shota. Who said that's true about a katan? Maybe that analogy was too far out in left field. Maybe it was a foul ball. Who said you could bring that analogy? They say no. A person does a mitzvah when he's a katan. Retroactively, when he becomes a gadol, he could be yotzei. That does have some standing. Maybe it's not the full level. Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Kovei Tzaharos says, in general, whenever we have a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah. We're all doing mitzvahs. We're about to do Mariv, another mitzvah. If you eat matzah, according to some poskim, at dinner, you'll get another mitzvah. You do a mitzvah. What did you do? How do you understand that? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a famous discussion, and he says when it comes to mitzvahs, there's always two aspects. On the one hand, there's the benefit, what he calls the toeles, or the tikkun ha-mitzvah. He says, what's the tikkun ha-mitzvah of eating matzah? Okay, so that's obviously something that's somewhere more mystical for us. You'll say, what's the toeles of giving tzedakah? That's more obvious to understand. What's the toeles of doing a chesed? More easy to understand. But every mitzvah in some spiritual level, which we don't always apprehend and understand and comprehend, has a toeles. But that's only one aspect, says Rabbi Chanan. The other aspect is, whatever the benefit is, I fulfilled Tzivoy Hashem. Like a good servant, like a good soldier, I did what I was told. So some suggest that perhaps, even though a katan is not of the mental capacity where they can fully say, I'm doing this because God commanded, right? In order to say, I did what the king wanted, you have to really be doing that. So that maybe a katan can't have. It's not a full adult action. But the benefit, whatever that spiritual benefit is of the mitzvah was done in the world, so even if a katan did it, it could count. So it could be, as I said, this machlokes, in general, about what is the status of an action of a katan, that could be what's at play here. If you hold that a katan's actions are nothing, so then when he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the sphere, he's got to start over from scratch, and it's too late, he's in the middle, or machmir for the behag. But if you hold that a maisa katan is a something, it may not be a great thing, it's not a perfect thing, it's not as good as an adult mitzvah, but it's a something, maybe that's enough to at least avoid the problem of Tmimos in Sfiras Omer. Last 5 minutes, let me suggest now an alternate approach. Maybe something much, much more narrow and much more focused. Let's, for argument's sake, assume that the mitzvah of a katan has no mitzvah status in the most general sense. And for Kriya Shema and Shofar and Birchas HaTorah, Kiddush Lavona, and all sorts of other discussions that poskim have about minors, it's nothing. It still may be different when it comes to Sfiras Omer. And that is because, this is a topic which we could give a whole shiur on, but we'll do it in 5 minutes, and that is, how do you understand the requirement of the Bahaged? I gave the introduction. The whole shiur, the whole suffik, is only because we have the schumer like the Bahag. The Bahag says, if you miss the day, you're out. Why? How do we understand that? So the simple view, simple, that's not, you know, the Tom is also a good boy. I don't mean simple in a in any negative way. But the pashtus, the simple understanding of the Bahag, which you will find already in the Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch, and more explicitly in the Prima Gadim, and then in the Mishneh Berurah, who quotes the Prima Gadim, and this is the way it's taught in all the schools, is that the Bahag holds that it's all one big mitzvah, with 49 pieces. So therefore, if you missed any one of the pieces, the whole thing comes tumbling down. How can you say a bracha after missing a piece? I'm no longer doing the mitzvah. Would be like shaking the lulav and be missing one of the minim. Dalit minim requires four species if you're missing one. I have only one. I only have three compartments in my tefillin. I don't have four. If you're missing part of the mitzvah, you can't. Of course, that's not a mitzvah. So the Bahag holds that there's one big mitzvah with 49 parts. Okay. But there's another view, which is, I heard first from one of my rebbeim, Rav Mordechai Willig, and many of Rav Soloveitchik's Talmidim have quoted this. I don't know if it's in any of Rabbi Ziegler's Svarim, but in Rabbi Herschel Schechter's Svarim, he quotes this in the OU's Masorah journals, a famous lumdus from the Rav, which also, so then in the Lashana Lashana, which was from the Rabbanut HaRashit, so Rav Zevin has a similar idea as well. Two Chachamim were Mechavin to a similar idea. And that is a completely different understanding of the Bahag. That even the Bahag holds its 49 mitzvos. 49 separate mitzvos. So that's the case. How come if I miss one, I can't make a bracha, I'm out? Why am I out? Okay, so this year I missed 3 days. One in the first week, one in the third week, one in the sixth week. So I got 46 mitzvos. Why is missing one making the domino? I can't do it again. Why? If it's really 49 different mitzvos. So Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, because what is the mitzvah? Counting. Sfira, counting. When we say, for example, yesterday we said, this is the second night of the Omer. Numbers are abstractions. Numbers only have significance in context. What does two mean? Two means it comes after one and before three. But if there was no one, then two is completely meaningless. What would it mean to say on day 18, Teddy's 18? 18 of what? It only makes sense if there was a 17 and a 16 and a 15 and a 14. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what the Bahag meant. Yes, it's 49 different mitzvos, but you have to count every single day or else you can't do each mitzvah. How could I count on day 23 if I didn't count day 22? It's meaningless. 23 of what? There was no 22. You need a certain, what he called hemshechius in Hebrew or in English, continuity. Numbers require continuity. Without that context, they're meaningless. There's a number of rayas for this. If I was giving a shiur just on this topic, I could give you 6 rayas for it. I don't have time for that now. But there's also a number of nafkaminas for it. What if a person has surgery or something like that, and they miss? Let's say someone knows they're going to go in for surgery. This is a Maisa Shahaya, one of the big rabbanim of last generation in New York. He knew he was going to have a surgery during the Omer, and from the beginning of Omer, he never counted with a bracha. And Rav Soloveitchik held that the whole thing was a mistake. Of course you should count with a bracha. This other Rav held, no, if it's one big mitzvah, and I know I'm going to somehow mess up in the middle, so I shouldn't even get started into the bracha. Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's a mistake. It's 49 different mitzvahs. And until you get messed up, so you should of course count with a bracha. Nebuch, you'll be sick, you'll be in the hospital, so then you won't be able to. Okay, from afterwards you won't be able to. But until then, there's no retroactive bracha levatala. Now you see again, to be fair, in the Mishneh Berurah, among others, you do see this fear of the retroactive bracha levatala if I miss in the middle. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Zevin and others who held of this approach thought that was all a mistake. There is no such thing, even according to the Bahag. According to most Rishonim, for sure there's no problem. But according to the Bahag, they held there's no problem of a retroactive bracha levatal. Again, I don't have time to fully develop this, but let's just work with this and conclude on the following note. In light of this, if you accept this more mechudosh, I think beautiful understanding and insight into the Bahag, so now we have one more nafkamina, which is our bar mitzvah boy. And this is what Rav Soloveitchik said. He passed in this halacha lemaisa. He says, you know why the majority view is that a bar mitzvah boy could keep on counting with a bracha? Not because, like we said before, that a katan does a mitzvah is just as good or almost as good as an adult. Maybe a maisa katan does not count as a mitzvah. But it does count for the continuity. When this bar mitzvah boy will start counting, I can't say it now. Yesterday was the second day. Today will be what comes after two. When he says that, it's not out of nowhere. He's only a bar mitzvah boy, only became adult now. But it's not out of nowhere. He counted yesterday too. He counted the day before one. So it may not be a mitzvah, but it was enough to create the baseline of the continuity so that he could keep on counting. And if Soloveitchik said the same thing for a bar mitzvah boy and the same thing for a ger. I don't know how much gerus happens during the Omer, but if it does, it's the same shiloh. Rav Soloveitchik said, so if he out of nowhere walked into the base, then okay. If he didn't start counting, he can't just start now. But let's say he was one of these people who knew. He's already been, people thought he was Jewish for months already because he's been doing all the mitzvahs. He's got a tzitzis out already. He's going to shul every Shabbos. So of course, shul every day too, for sure. Right? So the rabbi who's training him will tell him, so in the beginning you should be practicing Omer. Even suggested, some posts that even though he's not Jewish. But when he starts counting after going to the mikvah, the number isn't out of nowhere. The number is not in a vacuum. The number is because he was counting before. Is there any mitzvah status towards a non-Jew counting? No. Even less than the katan. But it doesn't matter from this perspective because at least the counting now has that continuity. So we'll end with a bracha to our bar mitzvah boy and to his wonderful parents and grandparents that you should do lots of mitzvos. Maariv is even more important. Kriya Shema is even more important. But also Sfiras Omer and Tefillin, and you should do them every day. Tmimos is not just in Sfiras Omer. Tmimos is everything. You should do all the mitzvahs all the time, and you should be a source of great nachas to your wonderful family. Mazel tov, and good moed to all.